Rivers in a tight, close game. Lost against Tom Brady. Tight, close game. I guess you could give him week two against Roethlisberger. But generally, it's a slight concern. Other than that, I think it is a bright, bright, bright future for Kansas City. And looking at it now, how do you not make them, just even more of a favorite than New England next year to win the Super Bowl?
Is Reed the guy?
I'm sorry?
Is Andy Reed the guy?
Yeah, he is. I think he is. I think there's what he did with Patrick Mahomes and the development, he's got to be the guy. I definitely think he is. If they didn't think he was the guy, Matt Nagy would be there today.
Yeah. Okay, well, we know who's playing, Tom. We know the line opened, what was it? I think it opened pick. And now Patriots money has come in, 1.5, twos here in Vegas.
Just give 2.5 is out there, Tim.
What's that?
2.5 is now out there.
Two and a half.
You can find it. 2.5.
I know we're going to break this down in depth next week, but initial thoughts, now that these games are a few hours old, line movement, you've seen that, the total up around, what is it, 58, 59, somewhere in there. Just your initial thoughts on this game and what you expect to see.
My initial thoughts are, number one, you can't go against Brady. I've said that last week. I said it this week. And now it's Brady against Goff. I just don't think you could go against him. But I will say this. The one thing that the Patriots have struggled with their entire reign of Brady and Belichick is being able to get pressure without blitzing, that inside pressure. Is there any better than Donald and Sue? I mean, these two, if they get their game going, they could be the disruptive force that we watched Von Miller be against Cam Newton. I mean, that's how impactful they could be. I do think that we're looking at a low-scoring game, lower scoring than 58 or 59. So my initial pick would be under, and the Patriots. I'm going to do a lot of research here over the next 2 weeks, but that's my initial. My initial feeling is that Todd Gurley will be more involved. They will want to keep, you know, Brady off the field. I don't think it's going to be, you know, a score fest because I don't think the Rams want Jared Goff flinging it all over the field. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think the Patriots want that either. I think the Patriots want to take away that ridiculous pass rush by running it, and they'll set the tone by running the ball up the middle. You're looking at a situation where I think the two biggest players of this game are going to be Ndamukong and Sonny Michel, because Sonny Michel controls the pace of the game, and Ndamukong Suh could completely disrupt the offense.
Initially, when I look at the two teams, Tom, and I'm with you on that, I can't bet against the Patriots. I won't do it just because I know what happens. But initially, when you look at the rosters and you look at the playmakers. Let's just talk about the playmakers. When you look at the Rams, and no, I'm not talking about Jared Goff, but you mentioned it, Gurley, he's going to have another 2 weeks of rest. You mentioned Donald and Sue, Marcus Peters, right? You know, Brandon Cooks, guys out there that have that ability to, in one play, change the way the game is. That worries me about the Rams is the explosiveness that they do possess there, which we didn't necessarily see so much in the second half of the season. Those kind of things in a close game worry me. But damn, did the Patriots do a good job today of getting to Patrick Mahomes, didn't they? That's what I noticed most about that defense is, you want to say they gave up 24 in the fourth? Fine, whatever. Up until that point, Tom, that defense was on point, and they were able to get to Patrick Mahomes, and I think they're going to be able to do that to Jared Goff as well.
And I'll say it again. I mentioned it earlier. 28th in the league when he has pressure in his face. 28th in the league is Jared Goff. If you get to him, he's going to get rattled, and this game won't be close.
What about the venue and play in Atlanta? Any slight edge there? Rams?
Fast track. Yeah, that's for the Rams, the fast track. But I don't think it's enough to really make it a problem. You know, I don't think the crowd is going to be, you know, on their side for sure. The crowd will be on the Patriots' side, but I don't think enough to cause a problem, maybe 60-40, something like that. And the fast track, it's going to benefit the fast team and the team that wants to go with it. But we've watched that not be a problem with the Patriots before. Nothing phases them. You could play this game on the moon, and I think Brady's going to go, 21-24. I mean, just nothing phases them.
Right. What about ex-players? Talib, Cooks, guys that factor into this game? I mean, nowadays, you can be an ex-player of numerous teams, so I guess it really doesn't matter as much.
I'm concerned about what they're going to do with Talib. If the Rams do what I think they're going to do, they're going to put Talib on Gronk. And I think the Patriots are dying for them to do that. It makes sense. Look, you're not going to put Talib crossing the field with an Edelman, okay? And the Patriots don't really have that next guy. That's the thing. Going back to the beginning of the year, when we sat back and we talked about who do we like to win it all this year and whatnot, I mentioned how unbelievable I thought the Rams were going to be defensively. I drafted them in every mock draft for my fantasy team. I love their defense. And the one thing I said over and over and over again to him is, amazing up front, really good in the back end, even though Marcus Peters looked like garbage this year. Really good in the back end, amazing up front. The big worry that we have to have is their linebackers. They let go Alec Ogletree, and I said, teams all year are going to be able to take advantage of these linebackers. Teams that throw crossing patterns, that throw to the tight end, and especially teams that like to get the ball out to their quarterback, out to their running backs, they are going to absolutely have a field day with the Rams. All year, what we saw is teams that have crossing patterns, teams that have tight ends, and teams that throw it out to their running backs. What do? They tear apart this team. They tear apart the Rams. What did Alvin Kamara do today? He looked pretty good, right? What do you have, 10 catches? I mean, he looked really good. What do the Patriots do really well? Crossing patterns, tight end, and James White out of the backfield. Their defense, their one defensive worry, their one defensive problem is everything that the Patriots attack. The Patriots love attacking the middle of the field and love attacking the linebackers. So the Rams have 2 weeks to find a solution for their weakest part of their defense.
And I think we saw, because of the Ogletree injury, Dante Fowler went out. They picked him up from Jacksonville. And you saw him today. He made his presence known in that game today against the Saints. I think somebody like that, if the defense is going to step up, we know the stars there, Tom, with the Rams. It's going to be a guy like Fowler that's going to have to make a difference, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Fowler, and he wasn't there when we were doing our evaluation. And I like him. I like him a lot. But is he enough? I mean, is he enough? You're asking me right now, what are my initial thoughts? I think Gronk has one or two big catches because he's Gronk and it's probably his last game. I think take Gronk away. I think Edelman steps up because it's Edelman, but he doesn't destroy them. I think that this is a James White game. I know Sonny Michel is going to want to set the tone. I think James White and Burkhead are just going to have a field day on this team that wants to get to Brady so bad. That's where I'm looking at it. Brady will be Brady. He'll throw for 300 yards and, two touchdowns or whatever. He'll be Brady. But I think that James White and Rex Burkhead are going to have a field day. Between the two of them, Tim, 14 catches, 150 yards. I think that's a reasonable expectation, and I think if that happens, that means that the Patriots are controlling the pace.
That's what I was going to say, that today when they needed Gronk, he was there, right, Tommy? Especially in the overtime, that he was there for him. And I think you're right. You'll see Gronk in this game. With that being said, because of the way the secondary sets up for the Rams, obviously he's going to draw attention. Edelman across the field, we know that's happening. But the biggest complaint I want to say I hear from broadcasters about the Patriots is they don't have that guy on the outside, right? They don't need, and Gordon would have been great, but that story is over. You say White and Burkhead. I say, and in my mind, I was thinking to myself, I think it's James White and a guy like Chris Hogan that are going to step up in this game because they're the ones you're not expecting to.
Yeah, Hogan looked good today, didn't he? Hogan looked like almost like the new Edelman, to be honest with you.
He looked good, but was he really noticed other than by Patriot fans or football fans? Was he really noticed as being that guy there? And I think that Edelman, because of the way Edelman is, and he made, don't get me wrong, Tom, right? Third down conversions, especially in the overtime, Edelman was the guy. Hogan's going to make a big play, I think, in the Super Bowl. I think James White, like you said, coming out of the backfield, being used a certain way, is going to make a big play. And in a game that comes down to sometimes a matter of one play to decide it all, that those are the guys you're looking for. And when you look at the Rams, I'll ask you this. When you look at the Rams, other than obvious Gurley, right, Robert Woods, is there a guy on that offense you see that steps up?
Well, I don't even know if Gurley's going to be healthy enough. We didn't even really talk about it, but Gurley didn't even get in there. Gurley wasn't even in there today. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's going to be healthy enough. Woods has been his go-to guy since Kupp went down. A guy like Higbee is someone he needs. I think the Patriots go, listen, we're completely taking away Brandon Cooks. I don't think Cooks does a thing against the Patriots. It'll be the Robert Woods show. And if Woods could step up, they have a chance.
Next week's shows are going to be great, Tom. We're going to be able to break this game down. It's the media week, they like to call it, right, Tommy? It's going to be, by the time the game kicks off on the third, Tom, it'll have been 2 full weeks of everything you need to know about every player and the scenarios and the Tom Brady hatred. It'll be all this is the time that the media jumps on. It's going to be nothing but the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I wish they would just play the game next week. I hate this week off. I really do. Like we really need to hype up the Super Bowl. It's not getting enough hype, Tim. We got to hype it up even more because it just doesn't get the attention it deserves.
Yeah, it's on the back burner of many people's minds in the sports world.
Yeah.
The extra week, you get the rest, teams get the rest, and the game planning begins. Is it a bigger story, in your opinion, that Belichick, we always talk about the coaches that have the extra time off a bye week, for instance. Belichick versus boy wonder Sean McVay now. Game plan for game plan, Tom. It's the coaches do get involved in this aspect of it heading into the game.
You know, I think Belichick thrives on this. You know, you saw it today, and I know Tony Romo mentioned it today, how Belichick loves the fact that he was going up against, the MVP and this rookie quarterback. I think Belichick loved the idea of going up against Kyle Shanahan, his greatest offensive coordinator ever, and I think he loves the fact of going up against Sean McVay. I really do. I think he looked at Sean McVay, and he was just saying, listen, I've been dying to get my hands on what everyone is just drooling over, you and your coaching tree and all of this, when he's won nothing. He's won nothing. So, I am on board with the fact that I think Belichick is going to be putting in extra time. I think it'll be a little bit sweeter for him.
All right, Tom, let's take our final time out here on a Sunday night. I think we've done a lot of football. So how about we do some baseball? Let's talk baseball on the other side of the break. Still, two guys out there that haven't been signed. Tom, I'm getting fed up. We'll talk about that and more as we roll through the rest of a Sunday night here on Heatwave Sports, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM.
Hey, Evelyn, can I ask you a question? You got a moment?
Mm-hmm.
Which team do you play for?
Well, I'm a Peach.
Well, I was just wondering, because I couldn't figure out why you would throw home when we've got a 2-run lead. You let the tying run get on second, and we lost the lead because of you. Now you start using your head. That's that lump that's 3 feet above your ass. Are you crying?
No.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
Now back to Heatwave Sports with Tim Oglesby and Tom Barton.
All right, we're going to wrap it up tonight here on Heatwave Sports with some baseball from us. Tom, I'm not crying, but I'm a little fired up. Bryce Harper, Manny Machado still have not signed with their teams. And we, you know, for years we built up this big free agents meeting free agency meetings in Vegas. And yeah, I know we probably weren't going to get the signing I was expecting sometime soon, but we're dragging on into almost February now. I'm starting to get a little heated.
Yeah, well, it's getting weird. I will say this: Bryce Harper had a pretty good tweet tonight. He said, "Confirmed. Just call Tony Romo to see where I'm going to play next year." Hashtag Tony, you're a wizard. I mean, it has become a joke. It really is. It is a joke. What I can report and what I can tell you that I've spoken to people, it's no closer than it has been. This week, what happened with Manny Machado, let's talk Manny first. This week, what happened with Manny Machado was something was floated. Now, again, I'm a guy, I tell you guys all the time on this show, told you guys for years, I'm the kind of guy that looks through, you know, that secondary angle, okay? I want to look through and find the story within the story. So I report that, you know what? What's going to happen? Oh, Manny Machado got an offer of 7 years, $175 million for the White Sox. And when I reported it, I said, I think it's pretty interesting that we know these numbers. Because why are we having this conversation? Why is it out there? Who benefits most? So I had that. I said, you know, this is probably floated by the agent in an attempt to say, hey, look, this is how low that this offer is. Let's get other teams to come on in. This is probably floated by that. Maybe it's floated by Manny Machado. Okay. Maybe it's floated by another team. I could see the Yankees, you know, floating this number and seeing how close they are to it. But somebody released these numbers. The next day, the agent calls it outrageous. It's completely fake. The White Sox said it's completely fake. Absolutely not. And you start to go, okay, but somebody put these numbers down, right? Somebody leaked these numbers so the general public and other teams would know where it stood. As ridiculous as it sounds, I don't think it's all that far off. I think we know this. Manny Machado did not get the offer he wanted. Manny Machado is in a position where his father has said three teams gave offers and the three teams are denying they gave offers. This is just bad business. Forget everything else. This is bad business to be saying things like this, to be doing things like this from all aspects, from your dad saying it, from the team. It is a mess with Manny Machado at this point. It is a complete disaster. It seems like Bryce is kind of handling this well. I don't think Manny's handling this too well. I think he's a little annoyed by this. I do believe that the Chicago White Sox offered Manny Machado a deal. I do believe that it's more than 7 years, $175 million. I don't believe that it's more than 7 years. I do believe it's more than $175 million, though. I think that they could get creative. I certainly think that they could get creative. But I don't believe, number one, I don't believe that Manny Machado wants to go there. Number two, I think the White Sox probably offered about 200, maybe 210, and I just don't think he's ready to take that. There are teams that are going to sort of swoop in. And we know this from being, you know, baseball fans for this long. The last phone call that Manny Machado and Bryce Harper's agent is going to make is going to be to the Yankees. And they're going to say, last chance, Yankees, here's the number. Last chance, you beat this number. That's what's going to happen. No matter what you say, that is what is going to happen. So the Yankees know this, too. So they don't supposed to do anything more than say, hey, look, we're the Yankees, right? We're going to sit back and maybe we should get more money. And let's do things like go get DJ LeMay. Right? And act as if we don't have any interest in Manny. You know that the Yankees are still going to be dabbling it around. And one of the ideas that I floated for the Yankees is this. If I'm Brian Cashman, and I know that this thing's dragging out, and they're not getting what they want, here's what I do, Tim. I call up, and I spoke to people affiliated with the Yankees that you know, have said this hasn't happened, obviously. This is what I do. I call up Manny Machado's agent. Listen, I know that you're not getting what you want. The client is 26 years old. Here's what we'll do. We'll give him that 10-year contract. We'll give him 10 years. But I get it. We have a club option out clause in 4. So if he doesn't like it here, a club option and a player option, dual option after 4. If he doesn't like it here after 4 years, you think he can go get money at 30 years old? He's still got a lot of life left, right? You still go get another 10-year contract after that. He's still only 30 years old. And we'll take him for 4 years. And if he performs well, can handle the city, well, we have no problem keeping him for 10. That's not a problem. That's how I would get creative with this thing. Because what I'm hearing from people very close to the situation, nobody is giving Manny any more than 8 years, and nobody's offering him anything more than $200 million right now.
Well, with Machado, let's talk about Machado. is this a factor of it? And I think we've seen this with Bryce, too, that what we thought or what we knew they were asking for versus now the owners have basically decided they're not giving out that long of a contract, even though the money probably yearly would stay the same. Is it that? Is it the fact that Machado, the way that his audition with the Dodgers went and his attitude has soured some teams? Because I know it was Phillies, Yanks, right, Dodgers, and then the White Sox crept in. But now there's, what, apparently another mystery team, Tom, that's jumping into this. I mean, really, what happened to Manny Machado?
There's no mystery team. Don't believe that.
It's not the Padres, man?
No, there's no mystery team.
How about the Angels?
There's no mystery team. That is, mystery team means that the agent said, oh, by the way, there's a mystery team.
Do you think that team soured on him because of his attitude, or is that not even a factor?
Yeah, you know, look, here's the reality of the situation. Do I believe that the owners are pushing back at these ridiculous contracts? I do. I do. There's a reason why, you know, guys are not being signed. But the four big names that are signed, and I've spoken to baseball people, I'll give you, you know, we sat around, we discussed it. The four big names that are being signed, none of them are scot-free. Four big names. Bryce Harper is supposed to get this massive contract. Bryce Harper batted .220 into like August last year. Coming off of a bad year. He's an injury-prone guy. He's been a dugout distraction. Manny Machado, oh, the numbers are solid, right? Yeah, he got pretty good numbers. Hey, the no-hustling thing is a problem. How about the kicking Jesus Aguilar thing is a problem? Kind of a dirty player and wants to play shortstop, but he's a better third baseman. No, they're not tourists. Dallas Keuchel, 2 years ago, he's getting his contract. He's kind of falling off, getting a little bit older, not a flamethrower, so he's going to rely upon his stuff. Maybe he's lost control. Craig Kimbrel. I got to give Kimbrel the money, right? Craig Kimbrel looked terrible in the postseason. Horrible in the postseason, right? So they all have warts, these big guys that everybody just assumed, oh, we'll just throw all the money out at them. They all have warts. So I asked, you know, and I said, listen, if Mike Trout was a free agent this year, every single person that I've asked him, that is either a baseball executive, a baseball writer, every single one of them said, Mike Trout, $300 million, 10 years, every team in the league would do it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't have any of those warts. He doesn't have any of those problems. So a lot of people, especially here in the New York media, they say, well, the Yankees are looking for excuses. They are. They're looking for excuses not to go out there and do this. That's exactly what they're doing. And we all do that in our everyday life. You know, you might have a nice car. You might have, let's say you got a 2014 BMW, right? You can go get that new 2019 BMW, but you got to find reasons why not to, right?
this one's still got a lot of life left. There's no reason for it, but
that's what the Yankees are doing. It would, the Yankees, the Dodgers, they don't need these players. They don't need Machado and Harper. They would be nice additions, but they don't need them. And the Yankees making these underground moves, you know, one of the reasons why the Yankees and the Red Sox are always spending, because they're spending against themselves. And the Yankees are looking back at the Red Sox and going, okay, you guys won last year. You were fantastic. We won over 100 games. We've added a Gold Glove second baseman. We've added a dominant piece to our bullpen. We've added a staff ace that will slot in as our number two. We've added, you know, some depth in our starting rotation. We like our additions. Boston Red Sox lost their seventh inning guy. They lost their eighth inning guy. They lost their ninth inning guy. They lost. The Yankees gained. So the Yankees look at the Red Sox and they're going, we have the clear better bullpen. We think our lineup is equal to yours. We think our starting pitching is on par with yours. There's no reason to spend on Manny Machado unless they made a move. Now, if the Red Sox went out there and got Bryce Harper this year, Tim, the Yankees would go sign Machado. But since neither one of them are involved, they feel like, yeah, okay, let Bryce and Manny run to the National League, no problem. And Yankee fans, you know, are upset about this. I'm okay with it. I think if you could get Manny at a discount, you get him at a discount. But it's never been about the money. It's never been about the money for me as a Yankee fan. I don't think it's about any Yankee fan money. I don't think it's about the Dodgers and the money. I think everything's about your contract. And when you're talking about 10 years, 10 years is a long time. Not that you think Manny Machado is going to fail. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with 10 years. The 10 years of what if he doesn't work here? What if his attitude doesn't work here? What if the fact that he's had two arthroscopic knee surgeries doesn't work here? You know, you have a lot to worry about on the back end of that contract where it can cripple an organization.
Did you see the rumor that the Yanks were eyeballing Arenado now?
Yeah, well, I wonder who that's floated by, right? Here's why that is one of the stupidest articles I've read in a very long time. Number one, saying that the Yankees would have to give up Miguel Andujar. So they would give up a guy, okay, in Miguel Andujar, who is, you know, coming off of basically a Rookie of the Year campaign, who is a controllable contract for the next 4 years, making absolutely no money. He's not even arbitration eligible for the next 2 years. Trade him and more to Colorado to rent Nolan Arenado. And when I say rent, because Nolan Arenado is a free agent. If they wanted Arenado, they would just buy him at the end of this year without giving up Andujar and take Andujar and go trade him for something else. People go, well, what if they need him this year? Okay, fine. Colorado might be out of it by the All-Star break. Maybe they're trading him. And if you really feel like you need is the idea that Manny Machado is that much worse than Arenado that you got to give up Andujar for him? This is Brian Cashman playing games with the agent, and this is the only reason why I think the Yankees are closer to getting Machado. When the news came out that the Yankees are looking at Arenado, my mind said, wow, they're probably a lot closer to getting Machado than that. People said, what's that? Well, I'm reading through the tea leaves. Why would Cashman care to float a story about Arenado if not to lower the price for Manny Machado? There's no way the New York Yankees are trading Miguel Andujar for Nolan Arenado right now. It would be terrible, terrible business.
So when you look at Bryce, look, this is his free agent class, right, Tom? And with Scott Boras running the show, we saw last year he had no problem. Last year his biggest free agent prize was J.D. Martinez. We saw him have no problem going into spring training. He literally signed once camps opened. I think he signed around the 19th to 20th of February. Got him signed, even though we kind of saw that was the destination. I believe you and I thought a month and a half before that was it. That he was going to be there in Boston. Signed him during camp. So if you think that Harper won't miss training camp, you're wrong. He will, or at least part of it. But we know that Harper's not going anywhere, right, Tom, until Machado signs, because This is Bryce Harper's class. He's going to make the most money out of this.
The only way that Harper signs before Machado is if somebody comes in, like Philly, and says, you know what, I'm tired of these games. Here's your 10 years. Here's your $300 million. If Harper signs before Machado, Harper's going to get every penny that he wants. He's not going to just sign and then watch Machado become the higher paid player. Because, listen, if you are Machado's agent, whether you believe it or not, you're going, I could get you more money than Harper. I'll get you more money. And aren't you sitting in the room with a team like the Phillies and going, do you want this malcontent Bryce Harper who can't stay healthy and he's batting 220? Or do you want my player that is a 30 home run, 100 RBI, 280 hitter every year consistently across the board? You know what you're getting. And, oh, by the way, my player is a dual position guy and can play defense. I mean, you're an agent for Machado. You are believing that you at least have the possibility to get a higher contract than Harper. Everyone just is convinced that Harper's going to get the higher contract. I think Manny's a better player.
What happens here then? Again, I'll ask you. I ask you this every couple weeks, but what's going to happen here, and where are these guys going?
It's funny. You asked me in the middle of last week, I was convinced that Machado's going to the White Sox. They brought in his best friend, John Jay. They brought in his brother-in-law, Alonzo. They seem to be the only team that really making that move. I was convinced, and I think I still am. I still think that the White Sox bite the bullet. They need that face of the franchise. They got Eloy Jimenez coming up. They have some young guys there. I think the White Sox are building something. They see a division that can be winnable in the next couple of years. I think the White Sox are biting the bullet and they're going to get Manny. But, man, Tim, when I ask people in this business that I trust and I know when I interview people, they think it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to the Yankees. They still believe that the Yankees are going to come in with that last-minute deal and they're just going to say yes. They still believe that. One executive told me that the Yankees are waiting around to get that offer for Andujar. And they want to kind of do it in a package. You'll see Machado sold the day that Andujar's out of town, but they don't want to be sitting there with both of them and them being in a trade negotiation where the team knows you want to get rid of Andujar. They don't want that. So they want the Andujar trade to be pending as soon as they go sign Machado. As far as Harper goes, everyone that I speak to, and I'm sticking with this since day one, I think he's a Philly. I can't imagine that Philadelphia could shut out here. I just can't. I don't believe that the Philadelphia Phillies would be able to face their fans, would be able to face the media, and not get either one of these guys. They have got to get one of the two. And if I'm Scott Boras, that's what I'm telling Bryce Harper. I'm telling Bryce, let Machado sign. When he doesn't sign with Philly, Philly's going to be desperate to meet our price. Philly has to meet our price. So when Machado goes to New York or Machado goes to Chicago, all of a sudden, they are now the backs against the wall. Their fan base will be screaming to meet our price. And we sit back, and that's when we go, okay, now we have options. And we want to be with you. Give us what you want, because Philly loses all negotiating power the minute that Machado signs.
And what in LA in this situation? I know we saw earlier in the winter, Kemp. They moved Kemp and Puig. Obviously, the Cincinnati, and we'll get to the Reds in a little bit because I want to know your thoughts on them. But now it looks like Peterson's on the block. They want to bring AJ Pollock in. How did Bryce Harper, that right field position is still open, Tom. How are they not in the mix right now?
I don't think that they, I don't think that Harper wants to go there. And I think that they kind of know that. I think he's an East Coast guy, or wants to be an East Coast guy. I think the Dodgers would be a perfect landing spot for him, but I just don't see that happening. And I will tell you this, I know you want to move on to the Reds. I will say this, do not put it past Philly to land both of these guys. Mm-hmm. And I'm serious about this. When I start seeing the numbers falling, I was told by somebody very, very, very familiar with the Philadelphia Phillies situation. When I was in Jersey, I was told by somebody very familiar with it that the Philadelphia Phillies set aside $400 million plus to spend this offseason. That's what they spent. That's what they set aside. If they are able to get Machado and Harper, let's just say on seven-year, 225 deals, they may land both of them, Tim. It's possible. Is it likely? No. But it's possible. The more that these guys, their leverage goes down, the more that their money goes down, the more that I could see that scenario coming to pass. And I heard this before the winter meetings. Before the winter meetings, that Philly was saying, you know what, we might get both.
And where would you put the percentage that he goes back to Washington?
I reported it at the winter meetings. I talked about it on our show, and everybody called me crazy, right? What did I get? All kinds of pushback because nobody reported it at that time. That I heard from someone that worked with the Washington Nationals. They said, we are not out of this thing. And explained to me kind of the idea about it. First of all, one of the things that I debunked on our show was that $300 million, 10-year deal, was not offered to Harper. It was more. And Harper said no. It was more than that. Now that it's coming in that area, you know, and the exact words were, I don't want to curse on the air, were, F that. If we offered 310, if he offered 310, he would have taken it. We would have taken it. It would have been done already. So he clearly wanted way more than that. They would have been fine with 310, and he would have been fine with 310, or so I was told. And it seems more and more. I would say that the percentage of him going back to Washington at this point, Tim, not going to quite say 50-50, 40% chance.
I think it's a fallback, right, Tom? He's not going to get it. It's an easy fallback for him.
The fallback to me is the team that's hiding under the radar is the San Francisco Giants. That's a team that I heard hot and heavy in November, and I haven't heard a thing since.
And there's money. There's plenty of money there.
Oh, yes. And they need that name. Buster Posey's days are kind of gone. They're thinking about trading Bumgarner. You know, they need that next guy to sell tickets.
So the Reds have been pretty active in the offseason, and you know, years of being bad, Tom. They go out, they make the trade with L.A., they bring in Alex Wood, Matt Kemp, Yasiel Puig, we talked about that. They picked up Tanner Roark, and now it looks like Sonny Gray's leaving the Yanks to head to the Reds as well. Your thoughts here, is this the direction you would go in stockpiling these guys, or would you just stay the course with the youth that they've built up in the minor league farm system? I know that a name that possibly is going back to New York if this deal is done is Shed Long, who's one of their top prospects. Why do it this way? Why not just stay the course and build it the right way?
I think they see an opening. The Reds, before these trades, Tim, the Reds were one of my top two or three teams that I was going to bet on the over this year. I think the Reds have a shot to compete for a wild card spot. I really do. That was before these moves, okay? Saw the same kind of opening that I did. Pittsburgh's a little bit down, okay? The Cardinals, they're relying upon a lot of young guys, right? Reyes and Flaherty. The Cubs are coming back a little bit, and they're getting a little bit older as they are. Milwaukee, I don't believe in that starting rotation. And you start to look at what Cincinnati has, okay? They have a short window here. Scooter Gennett is a free agent after this year. Joey Votto, getting a little bit older. They have Suarez is a superstar. Look at the closing situation. Iglesias and Garrett leading into Iglesias. Oh, they got an 8-9 guy, right? Actually have a pretty good bullpen when we include Jared Hughes and whatnot. Luis Castillo, I think, becomes a star this year. Is he a frontline number one? Maybe not, but he's a two, okay? And you're not that far away, and you start to look around the diamond and you go, what can Nick Senzel give us, right? You mentioned Fred Long. The Yankees originally asked for Tyler Stevenson, a catcher. What can Tyler Stevenson give us? What can Senzel give us? What can Trammell give us? Trammell's a big-time young guy, and I think that they're looking at this and they're saying, all of a sudden, you know, you bring Matt Kemp in here. Yeah, that's a leadership that we need. You see a Puig? That makes our team better. Alex Wood? Alex Wood could slide in with Castillo. You got a Wood, Castillo, 1-2. I think the Reds are dangerous. I like the moves that they're making. I like what they're doing. I don't think Sonny Gray is anything special. Can he be a back end? Can he be a 4 or 5 in the National League? Yeah, I do. So I'm high on the Reds this year. Do I, you know, I mean, it's very early. Do I think that they're going to be a wild card team? No, but I think that they could compete for a wild card. That's how impressed I am with the Reds.
And like you said, the opportunity, I think you're right, especially with the addition when they, you know, if we're going by standard MLB old school playoffs, no, you continue on track. But because they did extend the wild card, which I know mean you are on the other end of, we're not necessarily in favor of what, the way they did it, but it does create that opportunity for teams to sneak in.
Yeah, and that's all you need. I mean, to me, the Reds are one starting pitcher away, and who isn't? But I think the Reds are one starting pitcher away from putting fear into teams. They're a lineup right now. Puig, Kemp, Votto, Scooter Gennett, and Suarez. That is a dangerous lineup, right? I mean, they have no problem with. I just mentioned the bullpen. Bullpen is a very, very good bullpen. So starting pitching is your problem. And I don't think that they're that far off. They got a bunch of middle guys. They're just back end heavy. I mean, if Castillo was your 3 and Wood was your 4, all of a sudden, and DeScalfani is your 5, you're loving that. The problem is they don't have a 1-2. So they're going to have to do, you know, something there. But they have the ability to do those things, because they have so many players, you know, up and coming, and in the farm system. Their farm system is pretty good. I would not put it out of the realm of possibility. The guy that I was looking at, I said, man, it could change the Reds' complete complexion, is Dallas Keuchel. That ballpark is hard to be a good pitcher in, but he's a ground ball guy. He's going to keep it on the ground and not going to be able to get lift. And all of a sudden, you put Keuchel in there, number one, Keuchel, Woods, Castillo. Oh, I think the Reds are a dangerous team this year.
Keuchel signs with the Angels this week, Tom. We know that's happening. So.
How long have you been telling me that?
I'm hoping that.
It's about time. Yeah. I mean, you know, he's about time. And I'll tell you what, I think one of the hidden stories of baseball that no one's speaking about is the fact that Craig Kimbrell is out there. And if the Boston Red Sox lose to Craig Kimbrell, guys, I'm sorry, but Boston is weak. Really, really, really weak in the back end of their bullpen. Ryan Brazier and Tyler Thornburg is who you have. That's your 1-2 setting up for the back end of that bullpen. It is a bad bullpen, and when you contrast that with what the Yankees have, if you could contrast that even with the Tampa Bay Devil Rays have, I'm sorry. All of a sudden, the Red Sox look really weak.
All right, Tommy, one last thing before we get out of here. The Hall of Fame class will be announced on Tuesday. Obviously, we know Harold Baines and Lee Smith are in through the Veterans Committee. Obviously, we know Sandman, Mariano Rivera will be the number one. He'll be the headliner of the class, and he should be 100%. There's no doubt about that. We know those guys are in. Who else makes it? Who else is announced on Tuesday? Is it Halliday? Is it Messina? Is it Martinez? Any of those guys? Not in your book, Tom. I'm just saying, who do you think that these writers are going to put in the Hall of Fame?
I'm starting to hear a lot of momentum for Fred McGriff. Which, by the way, I don't have any problem with. I don't think Bonds gets in. I don't think Clemens gets in. I think Edgar probably does. I think Edgar probably gets his name called. I don't think Mussina does. Either he's just going to make it or just going to miss it. I'm going to say Edgar does. I'm going to say Mussina just misses. I think the percentages for the steroid guys moves up, but they don't quite get in. You know, and then Rivera, you know, there's one idiot writer in San Diego that should never be allowed to write about sports ever again. He should get every credential taken away from him, and no one should read anything that he's ever done. That's why I won't even mention his name, but that's the reason why Rivera won't get 100%.
Yeah, he's already come out and said he's not going to do it. He didn't do it, and that's what he said.
Yeah. And to give a the rival sports guy, Steve Summers, one of the best interviews I've ever heard. He had the guy on the show here in New York, and the first question he asked himself, he said, how could you live with yourself? How do you look yourself in the mirror? the guy hung up on him.
Roy Halladay, yes or no?
I think he's got to get in. I'm not sure if they put him in. I think he gets in. I do. I think he gets in. I'm going to say yes. And good. He should.
I'm going to say Rivera, Halladay, Edgar, and I'll you know, I'm a Moose guy. I'm going to put him in, Tom, because I love him.
You think McGriff gets in? I'm starting to hear a lot of momentum from McGriff.
And you know what? It's a great argument. I think it came on too late. I don't think it's enough. But I do think that Bonds and Clemens eventually get in as early as next year.
I don't think they get in next year. I've watched the draft class for next year. Next year's draft class is pretty good. The year after is a little bit weak.
But we both agree that they will be in the next 3 to 5 years.
Yes, absolutely. But, you know, and I will say this about the Rivera getting in 100%. I think Mariano Rivera absolutely deserves 100%. I thought Ken Griffey deserved 100%. But I don't care if there's one moron writer in San Diego. The guy that will get 100% will be Derek Jeter.
Tom, talk about the show, talk about the website. A lot going on in the world of sports, but football season, man, right? We're going to talk a week about nothing.
Absolutely. Guys, make sure you listen to Sports Garden, T-A-R-T-E-N. You guys go check it out. I got lots of interviews. We have a massive, major, major announcement coming up next week at sportsgarten.com, G-A-R-T-E-N. And you got one all the picks? TomBartonSports.com. Finish the NFL regular season over 60%. And the Patriots is my big play today. Actually, there's 4 of my 6 prop plays today. You get it all, every single thing I give out at TomBartonSports.com. If you sign up today, get basketball, NBA, NFL, Super Bowl. Yes, giving you the Super Bowl play. All my prop plays, all of it is included with your month subscription at TomBartonSports.com.
Tommy, great stuff as always, man. We'll talk Saturday night.
All right, have a good one. Thank you, guys.
For Tom Barton, for RE Platinum, Tim Ungles be here, and we're back at it Saturday night at 10 o'clock right here, and only on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Good night.